Have you ever had a burning question, one that you had to get answered? Well, that's what we're taking care of on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Our question for today is, can a person be saved if they believe that Jesus is an angel? What an interesting one. You might have questions of your own, and you can get those answered by sending us an email at radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're taking your questions. Send them to radio@faithalone.org. Here's a question from Erwin. And Erwin says, can a man be saved if he believes that Jesus is an angel? Not God or man, but an angel. Thank you very much.
Well, that's an interesting question. For those who are familiar with the Old Testament, there's an expression that occurs a lot called the angel of the Lord.
Right.
In Hebrew, it's Malak Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel of the Lord is often, in the minds of many Old Testament commentators, a reference to the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. So there is a sense in which Jesus is an angel, but... Right.
Well, the angel.
The angel. But it's not like an angel as a lesser created being. It's
more
of a title.
Right. He's not a created being. He is the creator. But it is a title. And the word angel means basically a messenger. And so the Son of God is, in a sense, a messenger. Of course, John calls him the light in John 1:1, the revealer, right? And he did say, of course, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life.
Yeah.
John 5:24. So the Father sent the Son as his messenger to give the message of life.
Right.
So there is a sense in which if a person believes Jesus is the messenger of God, they don't believe he's a created being, but they believe he is the messenger of God. Well, that's perfectly fine. We have an article on our website at faithalone.org by Dr. John Niemela. He argues, I think convincingly, that no one in their right mind would believe in a mere man for everlasting life. That is, no one would be able to believe that just a mere man can give everlasting life. In the same way, by extension, no one would believe that a mere angel can give anyone everlasting life.
I don't know.
Because why would, for example,
maybe God gave them that power.
Okay, I suppose possibly a person could think that way, and I would think children might, but not adults. But let's say they did. Then yes, if they believed in Jesus for the promise of everlasting life, but they had a defective Christology, then we start getting into a real slippery slope. Let's say, for example, Erwin is asking if someone thinks Jesus is an angel, but they do believe that by faith in this Jesus, they have everlasting life. I would say, well, yes, they're born again because they believe the promise of eternal life. I just don't think there are such people.
Jehovah's Witnesses, they come close to this view that Jesus is a created being. They might call him an angel, or they might say he's higher than an angel. He's kind of like his own thing. That's what the ancient Arians also believed.
But here's the thing. Arianism is work salvation.
Well, see, yeah.
Jehovah's Witnesses are work salvation.
Exactly.
So here's the key, Erwin. If someone believes in work salvation, they don't believe that simply by faith in Jesus they have everlasting life.
Right.
And one of the things I like to point out to people is that when I got to Dallas Seminary and I took a class on Christology, that's the study of the person and work of Christ, I found out I had a lot to learn. I couldn't just take a test and skip the class.
Right.
Because I wouldn't pass
test. Yeah, it's a very complicated subject.
And when I was in the doctoral program, I took a class with Dr. John Walvoord on advanced Christology.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got into that class, I found out there were a whole lot more things I didn't know.
Right.
For example, let me give you one shot.
Yeah.
Would you say that most evangelicals would say yes or no to the fact that Jesus could have sinned? They would say he could have sinned, yes, or he could have sinned, no.
I think they would say in his deity, no, in his humanity, yes.
In my view, Jesus couldn't sin in his deity, and he couldn't sin in his humanity because he was perfect humanity and perfect deity. And besides that, he wasn't some bifurcated person that was torn between his humanity and deity. He was one person.
Right.
And so he acted out of his personhood, mm-hmm. and his actions had to be always righteous. Just like when we die, are we going to ever sin again? No. We'll be sinless, but we'll still be human. The point is, Jesus was human and sinless. And some people think, well, wait a minute, it can't be a real temptation unless you could have given
right,
into that, it.
That's the reply. Then it's not really a temptation. It's just...
But the Bible calls it. You know, he was sent into the
right.
wilderness for 40
right.
days and he was tempted. We may think that's not temptation, but the Bible calls it temptation.
Right.
And so we should accept it. But my point is this. Can a person be born again if they believe Jesus could have sinned and were lucky he didn't? Yeah, they could. In
right.
fact, there are even people in evangelicalism believe Jesus did sin. They've never thought about it.
Yeah.
So my point is we could rabbit trail on this forever.
It seems like there's some types of defective Christology. You're saying it couldn't possibly be part of the condition of salvation. But there are other kinds of defective Christology you're saying do make a difference. And
right.
here's where it makes a difference is, do you believe that Jesus gives you everlasting life through faith or not? Is that what he does as the Christ? Or is he more like a helper? Does he help you on your way up climbing the ladder of work salvation? That would be a defective Christology.
And also, you just raised a good point. You used the term the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek word is Christos. The Hebrew word is Mashiach or Messiah. And you'll remember that in the purpose statement of John's gospel, these things I've written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ,
right.
the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Or 1 John 5:1 says, anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Right.
So coming back to Irwin's question, if a person believed that Jesus was the angel and he's Messiah,
right.
the Christ,
right.
and that he guarantees his everlasting life, because that's what John means when he talks about the Messiah, that he is the guarantor of eternal life. And we know that from John 11:25-27. If that was the case, yes. But if they thought he's an angel of the Lord, but he doesn't guarantee anyone's everlasting life, he's not the Messiah in that
right,
sense.
Right.
Well, then no. And so, yes, it's possible that one's Christology can be so defective that they don't have eternal life. And I would say the vast majority of people in evangelicalism fall in that category.
Right.
They believe Jesus died on the cross. They believe he rose from the dead. They believe he's God in the flesh. They may not pass a class on Christology, but they've got the basics of his person and work. But in terms of his promise of eternal life, they don't believe it. They think, no, I've got to be faithful.
Yeah.
I've got to persevere.
I need faith that works.
Yeah.
Let me kind of expand on this question because we only have a couple minutes left. He says, technically, Irwin asks, can a man be saved if he believes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, salvation can be that point of faith salvation of getting eternal life, but it can also be the wider getting abundant life and growing to spiritual maturity and being sanctified.
Right.
Now, can you experience those things and think that Jesus was not God or Jesus was just an angel or whatever?
Well, no, that's a great point, John. Obviously, what it takes to experience the victorious Christian life is far more than what it takes to be born again.
Right.
To be born again, we need to believe in Jesus for our eternal destiny. In order to have the abundant Christian experience, we need to walk by faith, not by sight. That means we need to know enough of the scriptures that we know Jesus is coming again. We know the judgment seat of Christ is coming. We're going to be judged there. We know that the way we grow in the Christian life is by having our minds renewed, which transforms our behavior, Romans 12:2, 2 Corinthians 3:18.
Right.
And so we need to have the Word of God implanted in us. That's what James talks about in James 1. We're to receive the implanted Word.
Right.
Well, it's implanted as we go to church and hear the Word taught. So you make a great point. In order to experience the fullness of life that God wants for us, well, then we need to grow and develop. And that would, of course, demand a proper understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ,
right,
because he's the center of our faith.
Absolutely. He's the one you focus on. I mean, enjoying eternal life is having his word abide in you and being in fellowship with him. And you can't really be in fellowship with him if you don't even know what he is, really.
Right. In fact, what's our faith called? Christianity. Well, Christianity, Acts 11:26, the disciples were first called Christians by those in Antioch.
Right.
Now, they didn't call themselves Christians. They were called Christians, and it was probably a derogatory term, but it meant something like little Christ or followers of Christ or followers of the Messiah, something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's who we are. We're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I came to faith in 1972, it was something called the Jesus Movement, and we were called Jesus people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's who Christians are, right? Aren't we Jesus people?
We should be. I think as you grow in your faith and you grow in your knowledge of the Word, you're going to move beyond these defective views of Jesus. And you're going to come to what John's gospel tells us who Jesus is ultimately in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Absolutely.
And that's one bookend. And the other bookend is John 20:28, where Thomas declares to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Spiritual maturity involves coming to that point.
Maybe I can wrap this up with an illustration. I spoke at a church in Starkville, Mississippi, where Mississippi State University is. And in the course of my conversation, I pointed out that a person may not understand everything about the Lord Jesus Christ when they come to faith, but they must believe that by faith in him, their eternal destiny is set. Afterwards, I was interacting with the pastor on this, and a young man came up who had just graduated like the year before. And the pastor was somewhat disagreeing with me. And the young man said, "You know, Pastor, I came to faith in this church while I was at Mississippi State." And he said, "When I came to faith, I believed Jesus was the Son of God. I didn't believe Jesus was God in the flesh. I believed he was the Son of God." Mm-hmm. I didn't know exactly what that meant, mm-hmm. but I kind of thought he was God's son, that he was born and became God's son.
Sure.
And he said, "Then when I started sitting under your teaching, I learned that Son of God is a figure of speech, and it's basically telling another reference to him being Messiah and also the second member of the Godhead."
Mm.
But I didn't know that when I believed in him for my eternal destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know what Son of God means.
Sure.
They think when he was born in the manger, he became God.
Right.
That's what we call heresy.
Or that God had a literal baby who's not quite God, kind of like a demigod, like Hercules was to Zeus or something. Well, I hope, Irwin, that answers your question. Keep on sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow, we're going to discuss how Scripture should interpret Scripture. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.